We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And welcome, everyone, back to Blunt Business here on CannabisRadio.com. Really appreciate all of you joining us. As you know, show's always made available Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And especially if you are subscribed to the show on those platforms, please rate and review. We'd love to go and get comments from you. And help, it obviously does help the show a lot greatly. Of course, you can find the show also on YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and the Cannabis Radio app, and of course on the .com, of course. And we are powered by the Buzz CRM. Remember, you're frustrated, and at the end of the year, you want to be able to again cut down, consolidate, and put a little more micromanaging into what you have to go and do in terms of your marketing, your automation. Use automation for your marketing, for your lead generation, and so much more. The endless cycles for hoping a system that will actually work. You want something steady that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we now have the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. But with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, smarter than ever. It's a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines workflows, and gives you tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. So get the lifeline you need after all those outdated platforms. You've exhausted other platforms, too many subscriptions, too many logins to remember. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. Not just a redesign, a revolution. The new Buzz CRM is such a low price. I feel ashamed I can't even tell you yet, but go look for it for yourself. TheBuzzCRM.com, TheBuzzCRM.com, and sign up today. My next guest here on the program manages the leading enterprise retail technology platform for the cannabis industry, a fully unified solution that integrates POS, e-commerce, inventory management, marketing, and loyalty tools. I'm here with the co-founder of Swede. Yes, Weed with an S in the front. I'm here with the co-founder, Rocco Del Priore. Rocco, thanks for being on with us.
Awesome. Thank you for having me, man. Happy to be here.
My pleasure. So let's go ahead and bring people up to speed about Swede. You state that, quote, you provide customers with the highest level of security for their data. And on the security end front, let's go and talk about these specific security measures that are implemented. You have encryption, access to controls, intrusion detection systems. And what we want to go and talk about as well is that the platform now recently had a completion of a systems and organization controls SOC 1 and SOC 2 type 2 audits. I want to go ahead and give the audience up to speed on what that is. An SOC 1 type 2 audit focuses on evaluating a service organization's internal controls that indirectly impacts an end customer's financial statements, assessing their design and effectiveness over a period of time, while an SOC 2 Type 2 audit examines a service organization's controls related to data security, availability, confidentiality, and privacy. Also, evaluating design and operating effectiveness over a specified period. So Swede was able to go ahead and complete these two audits here, and the company called Markham evaluated Swede for the SOC2 audit Well, I just want to get your take about what happened here and the importance of these two distinctions of compliance standards.
Totally. And if you don't mind, I'd like to back up just one step and talk a little bit more about the difference between SOC 1 and 2 and what type 1 and type 2 are.
Sure.
So as you mentioned, SOC is just a system of controls. It's a system to make sure that your company is following all the proper procedures and all of the technical things that you need to have in place in order for your data to be secured and in order for you to complete your financial reporting accurately. So SOC type 1 is going to focus on financial reporting, while SOC 2 is going to focus on customer data and security. Both of those two different certifications, 1 and 2, have a type 1 and a type 2 associated with them. So when you achieve your type 1 compliance, that basically means that you've written down, defined, and reviewed all the processes that your company is going to follow in order to, again, maintain secure and clean data and good financial reporting. When you achieve type 2, that means that you have been practicing those standards and procedures that you laid out in type 1 for a period of time, and you've had an auditing firm, in our case, Marcum, go through and actually validate that you followed all those controls. So it's a big difference in the industry. I know these things are very confusing, especially when you have 1 versus 2 with type 1 versus type 2 on top of that. But the big difference is type 1 just means that you know what to do. Type 2 proves that you can actually and are actively following those standards.
Now, data privacy is point of focus here in these audits, but also where in the press release talking about this announcement here, the Spencer's having millions of data points, quote unquote, and the types of customer data that the platform for Suite can handle, which is personally identifiable information, financial transactions, medical marijuana card details. So it's a lot to go to ask for that you're able to go ensure compliance with data privacy regulations. Just for instance, there are several measures in place to control regulation of data privacy, which are the General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, or say the California Consumer Privacy Act, CCPA. So the sensitive nature of cannabis-related information, talk about how Suite is able to go ahead and go that minute and granular in detail on data privacy.
Sure. So I think there are sort of two primary reasons why we're able to do this so well and why we're kind of breaking into the market as some of the first companies in cannabis to receive type 2 compliance for both types of SOCs. And the first part of that is that we're a second mover here. A lot of the cannabis companies that are popular right now, especially when it comes to software, were started in the very early days of the industry, and they've had to scramble and deal with quite a bit of change, plus quite a bit of mergers, acquisitions, products coming together. And it could just be sort of harder to meet the compliance standards that are relatively new when you compare them to their history as a company and as a product. Versus, Suite was designed from the ground up with a lot of these measures in mind. Even if all of the controls that exist today didn't exist when we founded the company, it was very clear where this is going. And it makes a lot of sense to sort of structure the system in a way that makes it easy to track all this data and remain compliant. The second thing that sets us apart is that we're an all-in-one platform. So traditionally in retail, you may have one piece of software that powers your point of sale, another piece of software that powers e-commerce, another one that does loyalty, and maybe a third or fourth that does email and text message marketing. And now you have customer data, potentially sensitive customer data, stored across, four or five different systems. And you're going to have to make sure that all of them are compliant and that you're able to report on all of them in a unified fashion. You don't have to worry about any of that with Suite because Suite powers all of those things in one product. So when you use Suite, you don't have a separate program for loyalty or e-commerce or messaging. You don't have separate customer profiles. You have a single platform and a single really secure, compliant CRM for your whole customer and patient base.
The other area that is discussed is the efficacy of internal controls. So financial reporting was also very important in what Marcum assessed during this systems and organizational controls audit, our audits. And they looked into segregation of duties, authorization procedures, reconciliation processes, and they would look at these controls and it would look at mitigating potential risks like fraud or errors in financial reporting. Pretty specific also for a system to do that instead of where, in the audit process, I mean, how much human components are going on with this, along with what the computers are finding out and whatever kind of errors or any kind of miscalculations there might be?
So the auditing process is really interesting. Like, we went through our own audit, which shows that we have to be, you know, following the rules that we laid out for our company, Suite, as operating internally. But our clients are also going to have their own independent audits, and they're going to have to use data from Suite to prove that they're following the controls that they laid out. While everybody has to follow the same set of rules, that doesn't mean that you have to have the exact same process for following those rules. And then finally, each client may have a different auditor, and these auditors are going to look to see different things. So all of these companies have to follow the same rules, but the way that they report on them and the way that they prove that they're following the rules can differ vastly. So that means that as Swede, we have a couple of really important things that we need to be able to deliver to the client. We need to be able to make sure that they can report on all the information they want in a very flexible and dynamic way. And we need to make sure that each potential action that could cause you to need to report something to SOX, like, you know, change in customer information, change in loyalty balance, transactions that are made, every action that happens in the dispensary needs to be available via the reporting. So we do that in two different ways. One, for making sure that you have access to all the actions that can be performed. Again, this is where being a single platform really helps us out. We have one reporting instance where you can combine loyalty, sales, delivery, patient information, all into a single data set and report. And then the second area where we've made a very conscious decision in terms of how we've structured our reporting tools. A lot of the competitors that are out there in on the market will basically build out tons, you know, hundreds or even thousands of these saved reports that clients will pick between. So imagine you're looking at a list of a bunch of different reports for sales, inventory, et cetera, and you're kind of scrolling through them, taking a look, reading the description, and trying to find the one that best fits your use case. We do have a few out-of-the-box reports, but primarily we've taken a different approach here, where we provide clients with a tool that they can use to build, save, and schedule their own reports on any type of data that they'd like. So a lot of our clients, what they'll do is they'll define their controls and processes for SOX. They'll work with us if they need to. Sometimes they'll do it by themselves to build the reports that back up those processes. And then they'll schedule and automate those reports so that whenever they have to complete a SOX audit, they can simply look at their inbox and find all the information that they need at their fingertips. So hopefully that gives you a decent idea of sort of A, how this process works, and B, why we're a little more proficient at it.
And the reason why I'm going into the weeds on this for the listeners here is that when we look at compliance, this is another level of compliance of standards I had never heard before, but it's also important to go and figure out, well, this auditing process and how much an independent audit here, like what Markham did, and how important it is to go and show that this checking, crossing I's, dotting T's, right? This has been done here, and was the other way around. Right? It's dot I's cross T's, right? But either which way, the level of granularity, the attention to detail to get this done so that this system, for anyone that's going to go and buy it, is proven, and it's also very efficient and makes as few errors as possible. So now, the other part I want to ask you about before we go ahead and wrap, go into a commercial break, is how this SOC Type 2 compliance, the audit, is evaluating processes and controls over an extended period of time. So give me an idea of how long the audit process was with Markham. Any exceptions or areas for improvement that were identified in the final report that Swede is addressing?
Great question. So with each report, they do come out with a statement of things to address, and they'll categorize them by things that are severe versus things that may not be need to address at all, but are more like notes. And of course, anytime that we get something that needs to be addressed immediately, we go ahead and address that for a lot of different reasons. You know, I can't disclose exactly what the feedback was, either positive or negative on the report. You know, if you are end up being a client of ours or you want to work with us, of course, we'll send you a copy of it and you can read it. But they give you like a section of things to address, basically, and rank them on severity. And I believe there was a second question that you had asked there. Apologies, I got wrapped up in the first portion.
The other part I was mentioning was about, well, that's the part you were mentioning, is you can't really, if people want to go and learn about the final report, about any areas of improvement that came from generating of this audit, That's something that you can provide customers. That's what you were saying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the timeline was the second portion that you had asked about.
Correct. How long it took to process. Yes.
Right. So you can actually choose, and you work with your auditor for what the timeline needs to be. Typically, they're anywhere from 6 months to a year. It hugely depends on what you want to use the report for, who you're working with. You know, there are some people, governing bodies or even just partners that want to make sure they're working with a SOX compliant company that will turn their nose up at an audit that was too short of a time period. So it is a little bit of a balancing act to figure out like, hey, we want the SOC 2 as soon as humanly possible. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we have the audit period long enough that it's reasonable for the folks who are looking at it. Again, 6 months to 12 months is kind of the standard.
Now, I want to make this point clear too. There are a lot of point of service platforms we talk about here on this program. I won't mention names here just for the sake, but let's just say there are quite a few companies that we featured here on this program. They do have this compliance as well. But this is the first time I've had someone on any program that's been willing to go, that was able to go and talk to me or have an announcement about the compliance that I saw that was brought to my attention so we could talk about it. So I want to make sure that's clear that if for listeners out there that I'm not coming out to this. I mean, it's new to me because I, in terms of the press, in terms of media and how it's being brought into me, that was the whole point. I never had a chance to go and talk about this, but this is important. And also, you know, while there are other companies out there that also do this kind of compliance standards, there's the American Institute of CPAs, and there are other companies out there that will do the same, and companies will reach their SO1, SOC2, Type 2 compliance standards. Some could be in other areas as well, but I just want to make clear that now, I'm not going to go and put out here that this is one particular area of like one company's doing this. No. I know there's a lot of companies that are doing it right now. I want to make that clear. And we're going to go to break. Come on back. And we're going to continue our conversation here with Rocco Del Priore, co-founder of Swede. If you want to go learn more about their platform, the website is swedepos.com, SWEEDPOS.com. Take a look at their website. You can also schedule a demo with them if you want to go do that as well. But we'll talk about more about that after a break.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back to Bullet Business. I'm here with Rocco Del Priore, co-founder of Swede. And while Rocco, before the break, I know I made a mention, kind of disclaiming about the fact that there are other companies out there that also provide the compliance standards that we've been talking about here on the program now of Systems and Organization Controls, or SOC1 and SOC2 Type 2 audits. But as I said, I've never had a chance to talk about this on the program. I know I feel stupid because this has been going on for a long time, and this is a normal standard. But what I want to take from you now is the importance of these audits and who you're getting them from, and the importance that any point of service platform that any dispensary is working with must reach these levels. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. So let's break this into two parts. So one, let's talk about what the audit actually means and why that's important. And then two, let's talk about like why people are getting SOX compliant in general. So one, for the audit, this is really what separates the type one from the type two. So just before the break, you had mentioned that there are definitely several other companies in cannabis that have achieved SOX compliance. But if you're evaluating these companies for use, I really encourage the listeners to pay close attention to whether they have type one or type two. It's relatively easy. I mean, all of it takes effort, but it's significantly easier to get type one because all you have to do is state the plan, what you're going to do, how you're going to follow the compliance. But there's no guarantee with the type 1 that the company is actually following the guidelines that they've presented. Type 2 means that you followed them and that you had an auditor check to prove that you were following the guidelines, which gives you a lot more confidence that the company is actually able to pull off what they're presenting here for SOX compliance. There's a lot of companies that have been able to get type 1, maybe not a lot, but several companies in the space that have been able to get type 1. There's very few that have actually been able to present a type 2 certification. So that would tell me that either A, companies have not gone through and gotten the audit, or B, they've attempted to and they failed the audit in some way, shape, or form. So that's why the audit is so important. It sort of differentiates the people who are saying, hey, you know, we can do this stuff. We're aware of it. We know what the compliance rules are, versus B, we're aware of it. We know, and we're following it and we can prove it. So that's kind of the first differentiator. And then when it comes to like what you need SOX for, there's a wide variety of reasons that you would do this. You know, all public companies are now beholden to SOX compliance, but you also are starting to see some states require SOX compliance. You know, I should have done some research before this and come up with a bullet list, but I know that there are some governing bodies that would like you to have it, even if it's not a strict requirement. And I think that we'll probably see that start to continue. You know, you had mentioned several other sort of data compliance regulations like GDPR or CCPA. And I think that we're probably going to see some consolidation. I wouldn't be too surprised if SOX becomes the leading certification that most people are looking for.
And don't get me wrong. We're talking about the fact that there's a blanket level of compliance that needs to be put out there. And, you know, on this program on Blunt Business and our Grassroots Marketing Series, we talk about compliance so much. But it's also a matter of, like, figuring out what the standard is going to be. And look, even when we've talked about certain areas where it's GMP, you have to look at what outside the sector is doing, okay? When you look at food, cosmetics, medical, whatever there is, there are other levels. Like, for the POS systems to have this level of compliance, this is meeting the standard that other point-of-service systems are doing every other sector. In the same way, put it like this, I never even talk about GXP, which would be, say, for like a scientific breast, I'm taking from an informatics platform for science, that they do a thing where they go ahead and we're able to get validation from an independent audit of GMP, GOP, and GCP. Just to go ahead and clarify those for reference, good manufacturing practices, again, that's regulating design, control, and monitoring of manufacturing processes. Then there's good laboratory practice, regulating processes used in clinical and non-clinical research. And the good clinical practice, regulating clinical trials to ensure safety and rights of participants. Now, part of it is that the regulation of cannabis, whether it's state or federal, we don't have all that being allowed yet to be able to go ahead and comply to all those standards. But we at least need to identify what standards that all companies we talk about have to have. So in the point of service sector, again, seed to sale tracking, how important is it of a standard is this right here? The significance of having the standard, having this independent audit, and all these other companies like Swede having this distinction, if people are going to go ahead and invest in your software.
Yeah. So if you're an enterprise company, this is regardless of whether you're public or not, SOX is something that you're going to be paying close attention to, because if you want to get purchased by a public company or you want to go public yourself, this is a standard that you're going to have to become intimately familiar with. If you're a small mom and pop operator, it probably isn't something that you are paying very close attention to. It may not be terribly relevant to you in the immediate years, but I still think that the fact that you're working with a vendor that has met the certification is important. You know, the fact that a lot of these vendors have not been able to meet the certification kind of speaks to what Swede can do in terms of compliance and how we treat compliance as a whole as a company. So in my mind, I would use the term leading indicator. It's a good indication that the company that you're working with is mature. They have a stable and complex enterprise-ready platform. And if they can go ahead and serve a public company that has 200 stores across the nation and potentially other stores across the world, then they should certainly be able to meet the compliance standards of 1 to 10 store chain in any of the states that we have here that are legal.
Now, on top of the compliance standards we've already talked about, when it comes to when we talk about the CCPA and the other state of the data, the GDPR, those are just barriers that should be reached and met in those areas because you have to go into it because those are particular for those are state laws or standards that are being created by a state program or what have you. But then there's also in the data privacy sector, you have other compliance issues that suite, you know, other security certifications or compliance standards. And I wanted to know what you could tell me about these particular standards when it comes to ISO 27001, which is the International Standard for Information Security Management Systems, or there's PCI DSS, the Payment Card Industry Data Security Standard, that demonstrates commitment to data security in the cannabis industry. What can you tell me about those particular standards they also put in place for data security, for data privacy?
So there's a bunch of these standards out there. There's the ones you mentioned. There's also the NIST standards, and different states will request different levels of compliance with these standards. SOX is definitely the thing that is most pertinent to the industry right now. But for example, we also operate in California, so we're beholden to following CCPA. I'll go through a few of them quickly. CCPA is really about privacy. It's making sure that the consumers understand what type of data that you're collecting from them and storing, making sure that you have access to see exactly what the data that the vendor has is, and then most importantly, being able to request that that data is deleted. And not to sound like a broken record, but once again, this is where Suite is super helpful as an all-in-one platform. You know, most folks, when they log into a platform like Jane or Dutchie, they're just going to have the ability to place an order online. But with Suite, you're going to see all of your loyalty details. You'll see all the past details that you of your transactions that you've made. You'll even see any of the documents that the dispensary has on file for you. So your driver's license, medical card, any of these things. And of course, you'll have the opportunity to request that any of this information gets deleted. So we follow this stuff. It's far less complicated than SOX is. But again, it's a much nicer experience for the customer because there's just one place for them to go where they can see all this information. When it comes to things like GDPR, I have to be candid. I'm not terribly familiar with that standard. It's primarily used in the EU, and I have not seen any sort of states in the US or any regulatory bodies request that people follow those standards. So like you mentioned, there's a lot of these things out here, and some of them are specific to certain industries. Some of them are general, like SOX. I think we'll probably see two things happen. I think we'll see specific standards set out for industries that require large regulation. And then I think you'll see a lot of consolidation around standards like SOX for the general public or across industries. You mentioned this earlier. We should have mentioned this at the beginning. It's a good idea to point out that SOX is not cannabis specific. This is something that is a control guideline for companies that do anything. And in fact, there are several very profitable startups that have come out of SOX as just helping people be SOX compliant and go through that process. So becoming SOX compliant is a cottage industry in its own right now.
Well, and that's what we're trying to make a point across here, is that the compliance standards we're even talking about is just us trying to reach to the level of what the other industries are doing. Because if this industry is going to be regulated and legalized at a federal level, these compliance standards have to be met. We have to be in at the same level as every other industry out there. We're no exceptions to the rule. And that's where I'm trying to come from here. So even exploring with Rocco here, there are other distinctive standards that are out there as well. Even though they might be, okay, EU might have it or Canada might have something different. The point is, we should explore all those, make sure to try to reach whatever the highest standard possible within the realm of possibility and get to that point. But especially get to a GMP level is what we're talking about as well. At least I'm talking about that across the board that the industry should go and reach, which is above and beyond what the state programs are requiring. And that's what I'm going to make sure of as well. Because then, you know, I don't need to go and bring up Canada Trust and $12 million of flour that was that had to be destroyed because, and of course, a company that never really recovered had to go and change their name, and they're still trying to kind of work their way back at where they were at one point in 2018. So I'm just saying, this is the kind of thing we got to continue to talk about, hit it over the head. That's what this program does all the time. And there's going to be more of this like here, and I hope they're going to even talk more about it, because I think it's just very important to just keep clear what's happening to what we need to go and do as an industry to go and make sure that we are taking care of ourselves, that these necessary audits, these necessary standards, and having the right software, having the right people in on board to help make sure all this is taken care of. Compliance, unfortunately, is a big investment. And what would be great to get that investment to put further more into compliance? Well, if 280E would go away, which we're going to talk about after the break, because we know that the ongoing issue where we're looking for the administrative law judge for the DEA, who has postponed another hearing to go ahead and finalize the rescheduling of cannabis from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. We're going to talk about that because there are things that are going to be implications for the Schedule 1 to Schedule 3 and what the 280E distinction is going to do in terms of expenses and what would really change once this rescheduling happens. We're going to talk about that more with Rocco Del Prior, co-founder of Sweed. Again, the website is sweedpos.com, SWEEDPOS.com. Back with final questions with Rocco after this. Welcome back. I'm here on the home stretch here with final questions with Rocco Del Prior, co-founder of Sweed. And Rocco, I really appreciate you taking my questions here. I know it's been really much into the weeds of getting this understanding of compliance standards and exploring what the audit of what many point of service platforms are, probably maybe all, I don't know, but they are following systems and operations controls, and they are SOC1 or SOC2 compliant, or type 1 or type 2 compliant. We've exhausted all that there, and I hope a lot of people really took some notes off of this and understand the importance of the compliance that's going on just from the point of service level, which is very important because of the investment that people are going to be putting into those platforms. And there are those to choose from, and if they choose to go with Sweed, they're going to know exactly what kind of standards that your team has gotten in place and what the independent audit has brought up to bring your platform to such a high level that people should consider. Now, of course, cannabis businesses are still being subject to IRS code 280E. So we've talked about it extensively about the fact that if rescheduling were to happen, 280E would go away and companies would be able to go ahead and have deductions and write off for business expenses. And I want to ask you about the complexity of 280E right now. First of all, just for the fact that the 280E distinction is still in play, and we know for 2025, we'll see what happens for next year, but how do the SOC1, SOC2 audits provide assurance that financial reporting is accurate and compliant with the 280E tax code?
So I got to be honest, the SOX compliance doesn't really have a whole lot to do with making sure that you're compliant with 280E. 280E basically just prevents cannabis businesses or any business that's trafficking in a Schedule 1 or Schedule 2 drug from deducting standard business expenses. So things like, you know, rent, utilities, insurance, things of that nature. The only thing that the point of sale really has to do in order for you to file or deal with 280E is keep good track of your COGS or cost of goods sold. And of course, this is something that Sweed's going to follow best practices on. We allow you to change the wholesale cost. We book the wholesale cost with each sale. So if you make a sale on, you know, Monday, and then you have an agreement with the vendor where they want to drop the rest of the wholesale price for the batch that you're talking about on Wednesday, then you're going to see two different COGS for those transactions. And all of this is very, very easy to fetch out of Sweed's reporting system. So unlike SOX, there's not a whole lot to making sure that the client has everything that they need to become SOX compliant, or sorry, 280E, quote unquote, compliant. It's not really a compliance piece. It's more of a tax regulation.
I'll go and clarify real quick, because the idea would be that if Sweet at the whenever the tax season is, whether it's quarterly or yearly, that
sure,
when there's a report being put together, so that for tax purposes, when the accountant or for that company has to go and review that, an independent accounting firm that's going through this particular audit, they'll see, okay, so when the tax form is generated, let's see and see what it looks like. Okay, the numbers, we can see where they are. And this is required under the Internal Revenue Service as to what they need to go and be able to see, so that they know that the distinction, know that a company's not going to be penalized under 280E.
Right. And again, like, it's not going to store things like rent, utilities, insurance. Like, there's none of that's tracked in our system. It's just the sales. So the two attributes that you're going to want to pull out of Sweet to file for 280E are going to be your COGS and your taxable income, both of which could not be easier to do. I think another thing that makes this a little bit easier is that Sweet was built from the ground up for the enterprise market. So for example, in some systems, you would have to go to each store and pull the COGS for that store, the tax, the deductible taxes for that store, et cetera, et cetera. In Swede, you can go and run that report once for the whole country or state by state, or however you want to break it out. So it really could not be simpler to go to the period that you need to report on and find the several attributes that you need for 280E across the whole country, state by state, or even store by store in a single report.
Now, I'll ask this final question. Because of the 280E distinction, if and when it goes away, and I do believe it will go away, I think that the DEA will finally go ahead and rule in the favor for the industry and reschedule, and then we will get 280E removed. With the platform for Swede, will that make a change for the retailers you work with, changing tax regulations, compliance requirements? Will there be something about deductions that the platform will be able to take care of so that while the company is operating, any particular monies or any particular revenue that's brought in could be, say, deducted out to make sure it's put aside so it can be written off, or it can be distinguished as what could be written off?
So I'll put a disclaimer before I answer this question that I'm certainly not an accountant and I don't pretend to be, but I do have some information in this world and I'm happy to answer. So I don't think that Swede right out of the box is going to have to change anything in terms of the way that we report this information. The way that the company's file will change, 280E isn't going to go away, but hopefully what's going to happen is cannabis gets descheduled. So it's not covered by 280E, or at least scheduled down outside of one or two. And when that happens, again, our clients are going to have to change the way that they're filing. I imagine after they get used to that for a little bit, perhaps they may ask us to add some attributes or tweak things, and we'll do those on request. But as it stands right now, from my understanding, I don't think we'll actually need to actively change anything when this changes. I think it's just going to be a very nice gift to the industry.
Fantastic. I really appreciate you taking time out to talk to me about all these different areas. And for those that get a chance to go and get an understanding of Swede, but I want to take the last, say the last 60 seconds, go ahead and let's direct people to the website, swedepos.com, SWEEDPOS.com, and take a minute to go and talk to the listeners. Obviously, you have so many different products and so many different things that people can learn about, and they can schedule a demo for themselves to go to the website, but take a minute to go and let people know what makes Swede stand out among the others.
Absolutely. And I'll try and be as brief as possible because I could easily talk to them blue in the face. But the big bullet points is, one, we're a single platform. We have point of sale, e-commerce, and marketing under one roof. It's a true CRM where you can collect all this data about your customer in one place. And as I'm sure everyone's aware, this is going to become more and more important with the AI revolution that we're currently in the midst of. So in order for those newfound tools to work appropriately, they've got to have a great set of data to work off of, and there isn't a better option than an all-in-one system. The whole platform has been uniquely designed from the ground up for the enterprise operator, and with the idea that every feature that we produce is going to do one of two things: drive revenue or reduce cost through automation. So we really do have a second mover advantage here, where I was lucky enough to be a licensed operator myself in the state of California for a period of time. We really do know what the problems are, and we worked with the existing software on the market before we started building Swede. So a lot of things from a fundamental standpoint are just a lot better. And then the last portion is the partnership that we have with companies. Again, we're branching outside the enterprise market now, but we really started with some of the biggest names in cannabis. And we created these sort of partnerships with them where we really sort of almost join their team. We have weekly meetings with them. We work on developing their feature requests with them. And it's a much, much closer partnership, and the level of support that you're going to get is kind of unparalleled compared to the industry right now. So if you were to give me three things that set us apart, it would be those three. And I would love to talk to anybody listening to the show who'd like to learn more.
Again, here with Rocco Del Prior, the co-founder of Swede, website SWEDPOS.com. Rocco, thanks again for being all this here on Blunt Business. Really took your time out to go and go into the real details of what it is for compliance standards and the whole plethora of standards that are out there for not just the dispensaries, not just the cultivators, but for the point of service systems as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me, George. I really appreciate the time.
My pleasure. And thank you, listeners. I hope you really didn't get too caught on the weeds. If you have to listen to it again, feel free. But I think we covered a lot of good ground. And again, we'll continue to talk about compliance here on Blunt Business. It's just what we do. We'll talk to you next time. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. built with you in mind. It's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.